You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. On the show today, we will be discussing who will have a bigger role this season, Daniel Vogelbach or Eduardo Escobar. In the first segment, we'll go through Escobar's year last year. In the second segment, we'll look at Vogelbach's year. Then in the third segment, we're going to look at the projection models moving forward and decide which player will have a bigger impact in the 2023 campaign. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Now, I wanted to compare these two players, Eduardo Escobar and Daniel Vogelbach, because I think they're sitting in somewhat similar positions heading into this year. They're guys that, you know, were performing well down the stretch in 2022 and have been sort of given a role that they had last year entering the season. But they're also guys that have a tenuous, you know, spot within that role in that there's prospects that are on the horizon that can certainly grab at-bats from them. So, you know, you look at Daniel Vogelbach, yes, right now he is going to be the primary DH. He's going to face right-handed pitching about as much as anyone in that spot. But he also doesn't have a clear position on the field. And if you had a Mark Vientos get off to a great start coming out of camp, they decide to promote him, and he's, you know, hitting home runs, and they start to give him more and more run, that would eat into Vogelbach's playing time. If a Brett Beatty made the team over at third base and suddenly Eduardo Escobar is out of a position, well, now there's another guy competing with Vogelbach for at-bats. So there's a lot of ways that Vogelbach could be squeezed a bit, and the Mets don't really have any long-term commitment to either of these guys. So this is where you could see one or both of them either pushed to a real limited bench role, pushed off the team. There's a lot that can happen throughout the year. I want to begin things, though, with Eduardo Escobar, because, you know, this is a guy that was signed to a two-year deal to be a bridge to Brett Beatty. Well, Brett Beatty has all but arrived. Our podcast on Friday was all about the fact that Brett Beatty could be the starting third baseman from jump if they wanted to put him in there, but even if it is a little bit of seasoning in the minors, he is coming. When you look at the final scope of the season the Mets got from Eduardo Escobar last year, you got about what you were paying for. I mean, he was very close to the guy that he was in Milwaukee that got paid that two-year, you know, $20 million contract. In Milwaukee in 2021, he hit .253, .314 on base, .472. That's actually split between two teams, Arizona and Milwaukee, I should note. He had a 107 weighted runs created plus. So, again, that is a stat that measures hitters based on a league average of 100. So, a 107 weighted runs created plus, 7% better than a league average hitter. He had 20 home runs. He was worth 2.6 wins based on Fangraphs wins above replacement. You look at what he did for the Mets, 2.3 F4. So, almost the same when it comes to war. He hit .240, .295 on base, .430 slugging. Little less slug than you were expecting. 20 home runs compared to the 28. But he still put up a 106 WRC+. So it was very close to what you thought you were going to get. I know that I was on the Just Baseball show last week when we were breaking down the best infields in baseball. And one of the hosts, John Armlade, he asked me about why everyone was so out on Escobar. Why are Mets fans so against Escobar? And I said, look, if you didn't watch his season, you saw the final numbers, and you think he had a very Escobar year, but that fails to acknowledge the fact that, you know, he hit .321 with a .385 on base and a .596 slugging in September and October to close out the year. That was a .176 weighted runs created plus. He was not an above average hitter for large portions of the season. He was good in March and April. He walked at a 16.7% clip, which is not sustainable at all. We did not see him creep above 6.2% in any other month until we got to September, October, where he was at 9.8%. And, you know, even then, he wasn't hitting for the most power in March and April. He got on base at a good clip. That was a good month for him, a 137 WRC+. But May, June, he falls to a below average hitter. He's at average in July when he hit 245, or got on base at a 245 clip, excuse me, 462 slug. So a 706 OPS. Other than that, he had 3 months where his OPS was below 600. So he was really bad in May, June, and August. I mean, August, he was terrible and he lost his job. Luis Guillorme was taking over a lion's share of the at-bats, and he was no longer going to face right-handed pitching because his left-handed swing seemed to be broken. You know, in that month of August, he hit 176, 222 on base, 235 slug, dealt with some injury there. But overall, this was not a great player for large portions of the year. Then he figured it out at the end, and he salvaged the season. But going into this year, you can't just say Eduardo Escobar is your everyday third baseman again. You know, he is going to be probably the opening day third baseman, but I don't think that necessarily means, hey, sign him up. He's the guy. You know, we can't possibly just hand the job to an unproven commodity in Beatty because Escobar is that great. The drop-off there is not that significant when you consider the fact that Brett Beatty might be a better defender anyway. Okay, you look at Eduardo Escobar's defensive metrics last year. It's not like he was this unbelievable, you know, steady third baseman defensively. I think he gets that reputation because he'll make the good play every now and then. He's got a strong arm. But then you look at what the stats tell us, minus 11 defensive runs saved, minus 7 outs above average. So both of those metrics grade him as one of the worst defenders in baseball. And you go to ultimate zone rating, minus 4.4. I think Brett Beatty's the better defensive third baseman. So that hedges a lot of the downside that you'd have on giving Beatty the job, and the upside is immense. That's where Eduardo Escobar could fall out of the good graces of the manager here. Not that anyone would have anything bad to say about Escobar the person, but Escobar the player, he could become a lot less valuable very quickly if he gets off to a slow start and if Beatty ends up getting that role where maybe you are limiting Escobar to facing off against lefties. And I actually think that platoon at third base makes a lot of sense. You know, Brett Beatty was not great against left-handed pitching last year. He was solid, but he was far better against righties. You can shield him against lefties early in his career and let Escobar take those ABs. And then next year and beyond that, Brett Beatty can get more of a full run at it. But if you look at the splits last year on Escobar, and we'll close here before moving over to Daniel Vogelbach and his role this upcoming season. He hit 259 against lefties, 231 against righties. Got on base at a 299 clip against lefties, 293 against righties. So you're not seeing a big, big difference there. Look at the slug. 519 slug against left-handed pitching, 387 against righties. That leads to the drastic split in weighted runs created plus 130 against lefties, 95 against righties, below average against right-handed pitching, well above average against left-handed pitching. And then you look at the home run totals going up against righties, and this is in about double, actually more than double, the plate appearances. He had 11 home runs against lefties and 160 at bats, 172 plate appearances. He had 9 home runs. And you look at the double disparity, 11 doubles against lefties, 15 against righties. Altogether, he had 2 triples against each. So that's what, looking at 22 extra base hits against left-handed pitching and 28 extra base hits against right-handed pitching. This is where Escobar could become a platoon player. You know what? He could actually platoon with Daniel Vogelbach, and that's what we're going to get to next. We're going to go through Vogelbach's season, what his role can be, and then we're going to close the show looking at their projections and where I really feel like they're going to be this year when it comes to which one will be a bigger factor for the 2023 Mets. Before we get to that, though, maybe you need a difference maker in the workplace. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Then they'll provide you with simple tools like screening questions to make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. So as small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmlb. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmlb to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Daniel Vogelbach is set to return as the primary DH this season, a role that he really thrived in when he came over in a trade. As much as everyone likes to talk down the deadline last year, Daniel Vogelbach was a solid addition. He got 55 games out of him, 183 plate appearances. He walked at an 18% clip. That is unbelievable. That's Juan Soto level of plate discipline. Struck out a 25.7% clip, not bad, hit 255, got on base at a 393 clip, which is insane, slugged at a 436 clip. You'd like to see a little more slug out of a guy like Vogelbach. Had a 144 WRC plus, so 44% better than your league average hitter. I know it's just baseball this week, I believe, maybe on Tuesday, so I think the published date is actually around the same time of this podcast. We're going to be releasing our top five DHs, and I think he's on that list. So that just shows you how he really is valued around the league when you really understand the production he just gave last year, 18 home runs altogether. If you're looking at a guy that's going to get on base at least a 360 clip, who's going to hit 20 bombs for you potentially, that's a pretty solid value. And I think the Mets understand that, understand what he can bring, and understand that, you know, when you're trying to find someone to get those DH at bats, as much as you might love the idea of throwing Mark Vientos into the fire, or you know, calling a Ronny Mauricio up, or a Brett Beatty, whatever prospect it is, Francisco Alvarez not catching and DHing, there's something to be said about a guy like Vogelbach who has been around the block before, 465 games in his career. He has over 1,500 plate appearances. He at least knows how to take a professional MLB at bat. He's a guy that can protect a Pete Alonso against right-handed pitching where you know, teams are going to be a little bit hesitant to load the bases with Pete when they know that they got a Vogelbach behind him that is going to be a tough out, a guy that can put the ball in play, a guy that can draw walks that'll give up runs, a guy that can make you pay if you lose a pitch over the heart of the plate and can put one into the seats. Vogelbach has some real value here, and you look at what he did last year when you split his season, because again, this was a guy that was acquired to face righties because he couldn't hit lefties, and he was getting some run against left-handed pitching on a Pirates team that just wasn't competitive. So you look at what he did last year against lefties, 139 average, 262 on base, 153 slug, horrible numbers, a 30 WRC plus, 70% worse than the league average hitter. You then look at the righty splits, 261 average, 382 on base, 497 slug, a 150 WRC plus, and that is more in line with the numbers that we saw him put up as a Met because the Mets did shield him from facing lefties. I think Vogelbach really has this job pretty secure. I think the only one that would maybe push him for it is a Mark Vientos, because I think if Brett Beatty makes his team at any point, he's going to be at third base. Vientos is a guy that, you know, might be able to steal a game a week at third or maybe get Pete off his feet at first base. Ultimately, though, the positional fit for Vientos is not really on this roster. It would be first base. Long term, as an MLB player, that's where he probably has to play defense. So if he's going to get at bats, if he ends up being this standout, we just saw Mark Vientos have a two home run game on, I believe it was it Saturday or Sunday? I think it might have been Saturday, where he hit one 469 off the batter's eye and Roger Dean. I mean, Mark Vientos has incredible pop, and maybe because of that pop, you would look at him as a better fit to provide protection in the lineup for Pete Alonso at some point this season if he can, you know, prove that what he's done in the minor leagues, he can repeat at the big league level. For now, though, it's hard for me to envision Mark Vientos giving better at-bats against right-handed pitching than Daniel Vogelbach, and that's why I think he is in a pretty good standing to hang on to this role throughout the year. I think that there's always the chance that, you know, Vogie will go back to what he was in some of his down years. I mean, look, we're not far removed from 2021, where he hit .219, .349 on base, only slugged .381, played 93 games that year, was a 102 WRC plus guy, and when it came to F-War, because he was bad at defense and slightly below average at offense too, he graded as a net negative player. So, you know, that's not too far in the rearview mirror. He wasn't necessarily great in 2020, but he also had a 30 home run season in 2019. So I think that what Vogelback proved last year is he's going to continue to draw his walks, which is great. He has a little bit of pop, and he's just going to pass the baton down the line for this lineup. And, you know, when it came to the production the Mets got at DH throughout the season, he was certainly the best option that they had. Will he be a better option than Eduardo Escobar in the DH role or just in the lineup in general? Who will have a bigger role this season? We're going to get to that next. First, though, another word from our sponsors. Which player will have a bigger role in the Mets this season? Eduardo Escobar, Daniel Vogelback. Let's take a look at the projection models first and see what they say. If you go to Fangraphs, there is this blurb under their stats, this green section, where you can see what each projection model has for a player heading into the year. All the projection models are pretty uniform when it comes to Escobar. They're all aligned for the most part, between 109 and 116 games played. So that's interesting. If we're just looking at the games played projection, it does lean Escobar, because you look at Vogelback and it's between 84 and 93 are the main projection models. Now, when we look at the production, they have him as a 232 to 235 hitter and on base between 291 and 293. So very, you know, small difference in all these models. The slug between 399 and 417, but most of it being between 399 and 410. There's the one outlier of Zips that has him at 417. Weighted runs created plus between 97 and 102. And then when it's wins above replacement, it's between 1.3 and 1.7. So not even a two-win player again. That's not the most convincing argument when looking at what a player is projected to do, to say, yeah, Escobar is going to be the guy at third base. I understand that he is the veteran, and he has been a great mentor already to some of the younger guys coming up, like Mark Vientos. He's already kind of applauded Escobar for that and for helping him out ever since he got promoted last year. He's great to have in the clubhouse. But at 34 years old, I think Eduardo Escobar is getting to the point in his career where facing off against lefties, because he's better from the right side as a switch hitter, and serving a role off the bench where maybe he does fit that need of needing a right-handed bat to face a lefty late in games, I think that's a better fit for him. You know, as much as I look at Mark Vientos as a guy that can be a lefty masher on this team, if Brett Beatty was your everyday third baseman, I think Escobar can be that guy, and he brings way more experience to the table. And I think, quite honestly, he might be able to leave the yard at a somewhat similar clip to a Vientos while giving you better at-bats in the process, because he is a vet. So I think that ultimately is the role for Escobar, unless he is at some point moved. I think that's what the Mets ultimately decided to do with him. He is a guy that they had to in a pinch that could throw him at second base. More likely I see him maybe getting Pete off his feet at first base. Maybe there's some days of the week where you decide, all right, we'll have Escobar start at first, have Pete DH against the lefty if you have Brett Beatty or not even Brett Beatty at that point. That's actually the one element of this, is you would want Escobar to start at third base against lefty. So maybe it's just, all right, here's a day where we're going to bench Vogie and put Escobar at first base, get him in some at-bats against right-handed pitching and put Pete at DH. Regardless, he gives you some coverage in multiple spots in the infield. He could, as a bench player, back up at third base, second base, and first base. And again, ultimately, I think you're better off shielding him from facing righties like you planned to do at the end of last year when he sort of lost his spot. With that, you compare him to Daniel Vogelback, and the projection models have Escobar as the guy that's going to play more. Vogie is between 84 and 93 games played. Zips is a model that does not factor in depth chart, and so that has him at 127 games played. But the models that are factoring in the depth chart have him playing closer to half the games than 75% of them as the guy that would be taking more at-bats in that platoon. But you look at what they expect from him offensively, and this is where I lean Vogelback as far as who should have a bigger role this year. The average, they're all pretty low on him, which is understandable when you look at his last 3 years prior to hitting 238 last year, where he was a 219 hitter, 208, 209, even before that, 207. So he's always been a low average guy for his career. It's a 218 batting average. So look at the projection models, between 216 and 226. On base, between 340 and 348. Slug, between 384 and 399. The weighted runs created plus of all that is between 114 and 121. Again, going back to Escobar, they had him about at a league average player. For Vogelback, for the at-bats that he's going to give you, they're saying at least 14% better than a league average hitter, up to 21%. And last year, when he was only facing off against right-handed pitching, 144 was the WRC+. So I think if you are projecting him out and you are projecting at-bats against lefties, that could be hurting him a bit here, where if he's just facing off against righties, I think the OBP definitely ticks up. I can't say for sure he'd hit 255 again like he did with the Mets, but if he's hitting 235 and walking at a 16% clip, which is not outside the realm of possibility, suddenly you're looking at a guy that can get on base at a 360, 370, maybe even closer to the 380% clip again. Last year at the Mets, it was 393. For the season, it was 360, and that included all the at-bats in Pittsburgh, where he did have all those troubles against left-handed pitching. I really think Vogelback can be a positive contributor. I think by season's end, I'd imagine he's in the starting lineup more than Eduardo Escobar. I think they're going to need both of them because you just need depth to get through a season. But the prospects, to me, threaten Escobar more, because I think Beatty is the most sure thing of the prospects to play a big role this season, and he's directly coming for Escobar's role at third base. When it comes to DH, Avientos can complement a Vogelback. If Beatty were to be up at the same time as Avientos, he's going to go third base more than DH. He might even go to left field before he goes to DH. When it's just who would be the guy that could take his job, Vogelback's at DH, there is not really that clear-cut answer. If Escobar's having a great year, theoretically, sure, Beatty could be the third baseman, Escobar can be the DH, but I'd be surprised if Mark Vientos gave you better at-bats against right-handed pitching than Daniel Vogelback. I'd say the same thing about Eduardo Escobar. I'd say the same thing about Francisco Alvarez. The only person who I think could give better at-bats against righties than Vogelback, it's Beatty. But again, I think Beatty's the third baseman. So we'll see ultimately how it shakes out for the Mets this year. I think I'm happy they got both these guys, because what they do is they certainly improve the floor of the production you're going to get from this roster. And then you're hoping that the ceiling gets improved by some of the kids coming up. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball if you want to win your league this year. That's where you have to go to get ready for your draft. You can find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Make sure you make Locked On Fantasy Baseball your second listen today.